The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Hello. Good morning. Hi. Hi. So I'm Nikki Murgafori. Nikki is easy to say. Murgafori is easy to say. It looks scary when you see it written. I want to welcome all of you, every single one of you, to IMC this morning. Every one of you, every part of you, whether you're an IMC regular, you've been here for a long time, whether this is your first time. Actually, who's new to IMC? Can I see a show of hands? Who's new to IMC? Great, raise it high, proud, yes. Great, yes, you're new, fantastic. Welcome, this is great, welcome. So before I start, some reflections I want to ask you to, just as I welcomed you to this space, welcoming you to here right now, for you to welcome each other, because this is your space. Whether you're here for the first time, this is your space. Welcome people around you, and if you're an old-timer, of course, welcome people. So just let's take a few minutes and go around. And also, welcome the awkwardness that can arise when you're talking to someone and you turn and they're talking to your neighbor. No, oh, awkwardness. Welcome that. Welcome awkwardness. Welcome that. Oh, embrace that. So please welcome each other. Turn around. Welcome each other. Good morning. Okay. All right. Wow. Great. That was some energy after the silence. Did you hear that? Yeah. You feel properly welcome now? Great. Lovely. So I was here a couple of days ago, actually, on Friday, and I see some familiar faces from this Friday, people who were here practicing together. And we were practicing a day long as a part of a four-month series on the Brahma Viharas, the practices of the heart translated as the heavenly dwellings. So we started with metta, loving kindness, a few months ago. Last month was compassion. And 2 days ago was mudita. Mudita is vicarious joy or sympathetic joy, which is being happy for other people's happiness. Just being happy for other people's happiness. Basically, when loving kindness, when metta, that feeling of goodwill, feeling of friendliness, meets somebody else's good fortune. Ah, that sense of goodwill becomes joy for their happiness. I'm so happy that you're happy. I am so happy for you. I'm happy that you're happy. And when that feeling of metta, that loving kindness, that friendliness, goodwill, just very simple goodwill of the heart, when it comes in contact with our own good fortune, with our own happiness, oh, I'm so happy for my own happiness. I'm happy that I'm happy. Actually, that is gratitude. It becomes gratitude. So that's kind of how the practice of gratitude in this tradition is kind of high. It's stuck in the Brahma Viharas as a practice of vicarious sympathetic joy for ourselves, which then is experienced as gratitude. Wow, I'm so happy that I'm happy. This is so great. Ooh, and then naturally, it's not that you even have to do it. It just becomes gratitude. It just becomes a sense of appreciation and gratitude. So the day long on Friday on joy, on vicarious joy, was so juicy, was so joyful that I thought, oh, today I'm going to talk about joy. I'm going to talk about mudita and share. And then I thought, oh, okay, also Thanksgiving is coming up on Thursday. So gratitude, actually, that's the theme is very seasonal. So I thought I would be talking about gratitude, joy, just a combination of these, sharing some reflections with you this morning. So and one interesting also regarding joy and gratitude is that they are very closely related. Very closely related. And check in your own heart, not from a head place, but what brings you joy when the mind is really with it, is really mindful of it? The mind can feel grateful for it, appreciative of it. And similarly, when the mind is grateful for something, appreciates something, takes appreciation, then there is a joy, there is a delight, there is an uplift. They're very close. They're very similar. They're close cousins, maybe even brothers or sisters, siblings. So in this tradition, gratitude, thankfulness, gratefulness, it's a little different. It's practiced a little differently from theistic traditions. In theistic traditions, which many of us have a background in, myself included, I was brought up in Tehran, Iran, in a liberal Muslim family. And the practice of gratitude is one of being thankful to an external source, being thankful to God, being thankful to Allah, being thankful, grateful to an external source, very direct relationship. For example, in Christianity, it's often in a daily way. It's experiences saying grace before meals, which is a beautiful practice. Beautiful practice. And I remember in Iran, in my tradition, in the Persian tradition, we would actually say thanks after the meal. And I remember my aunt making fun one day when I was really a child, saying, you know, Christians, they say grace before the meal, they thank God before the meal, but us Muslims, we wait until after the meal, make sure we've eaten. And we were, anyway, it seemed funny at the time. We're making fun of ourselves anyway. So It's gratitude that comes from the satiation, from a feeling of fullness, from a feeling of wonderful. So that's again the connection between joy, delight, and gratitude. Whereas in this tradition, it's gratitude without God. So I'd like to share an excerpt from an article, an Atlantic article from November 26, 2014, for those of you who would like to go and look it up later. And the title of the article is Gratitude Without God. And in it, Robert Emmons, who's a renowned psychologist at University of California, Davis, and author of the book Thanks! Exclamation point. How practicing gratitude can make you happier is quoted. And he says, it's actually interesting, he says, we all begin life, and actually I forget now whether he said it or it was just in the article. I don't have the quote mark, so forgive me here. Anyway, I'm quoting from the article to give credit where credit is due. We all begin life dependent on others, and most of us end life dependent on others. If we are lucky, in between we have roughly 60 years or so of unacknowledged dependency. I like that, unacknowledged dependency. The human condition is such that throughout life, not just at the beginning and end, we are profoundly dependent on other people. Consider that, actually. You know, beginning of life, yes, of course we're dependent. We're helpless as humans when we're born. We're not like other animals. We're helpless for years on our parents and the care of others. We wouldn't make it otherwise. And when we get old also, we are even more so dependent on the care of others. But then in the middle, we are also dependent on each other. We just don't acknowledge how dependent we are on each other. This unacknowledged dependency, I love that. Unacknowledged dependency. So the article continues, gratitude is the truest approach to life. We did not create or fashion ourselves. We did not birth ourselves. Life is about giving, receiving, and repaying. We are receptive beings dependent on the help of others, on their gifts and their kindness. Basically, since we're born, survive off the generosity of others, and then die, gratitude naturally is the organizing principle of life. It's the organizing principle of life. So gratitude. In a way, you can think of it take different perspectives on it. I mean, science has taken quite a bit of interest the past few decades on studying gratitude and seeing the effects of it on our life and well-being and on our psyche. And I'll share a few research results with you. But even more than, yes, science says gratitude is good for you. You'll be happier, you'll be healthier, you'll have more fulfilling relationships, all the quote-unquote good stuff. But aside from all the goodies, really, intrinsically, it's as it said, it's the organizing principle of life. It's the enlightened reaction to life. It's the appropriate response to life. And to whatever life is handing you, actually, I would say, which is a pretty radical thing to say, and I'll say more about that later. Because we usually tend we find it easier to be grateful for what's good, what's easy, but not necessarily feel gratitude for what is difficult, for what challenges us, for what pushes us. I wanted to save this for later, but I'll say it now, actually. So what if we opened ourselves up to feel gratitude for everything? What if we felt gratitude for the difficulty we've been given, for the people who challenge us? It's Thanksgiving. This week you might be at Thanksgiving dinner with people who challenge you. What if we felt gratitude for the challenge they give us, that they show us, yes, there is more work to do in opening our heart? We don't have to like them, but can we love them? Can we be grateful for them in our lives? with all the challenges that they provide. I was contemplating this actually earlier myself. And I have a challenging relationship, surprise, surprise, in my life. And thinking, you know, with this perspective of gratitude, can I be grateful for this relationship and all the challenges of it? And can I completely love this person and not condone the hurt and the difficulty and everything that we have in this entangled relationship? And with that perspective, the answer was yes. Actually, I am grateful to this person. I am grateful for the challenge this person provides me and pushes me, really pushes me to my edge in my heart. Because I realize, well, okay, there is more work to be done. There is more work to be done. I'm not done. I'm not enlightened yet. Great, thank you for helping me realize that. Otherwise, I would get a big head. I can't. Because I realize there's challenge there. There's still a challenge there. So thank you for waking me up to, yes, there is more work to do. There is more opening of the heart. Thank you. So being grateful for that relationship, that. And can I love you still? Can I see your humanity? Can I love you? Can I care for you? Can I see that just like me, you want to be happy? You don't wake up in the morning trying to cause trouble and be mean. It's just, that's the way you operate. Can I love your humanity? Can I see that? Can I be grateful that you exist without condoning, again, the actions, etc.? So radical gratitude. Can I be grateful for the difficulties, for the challenges, for the sickness, for the illness, for the old age, for my body not working the way I want it to? For things being challenging, can I be grateful for those too? Can I be grateful for everything? And not just the good stuff. The good stuff is easier. And actually, even sometimes the good stuff isn't so easy. So the idea of practicing gratitude also, there is no should. There is no should in practicing gratitude. That's really, really, really important. You don't have to be grateful for anything. Because if you sit and say, okay, talk about gratitude, okay, I started to talk this morning, I have to be grateful for this. No, it doesn't work that way. In fact, we know this intuitively, and psychological research shows that if you have an authentic emotion or reaction, but then you try to mask it. For example, something is irritating you, and you try to like put a smile on, and oh, it's okay. Ooh, guess what? That's a lot worse for your health, for the tendency at the increased chance of heart attack, etc., etc. It's a lot worse than actually if you were authentic with your feeling and you really acknowledge that I'm upset, I'm angry, I'm sad. So authenticity is really the best recipe. And that's exactly what we practice with mindfulness, right? With mindfulness, the idea is not to see your anger, see your unhappiness and push it away, make it all better, put a smile on it. No! It's opening to everything, embracing things exactly as they are, embracing, allowing things exactly as they are. And in that, being with things exactly as they are, that is also the opening for authentic gratitude, for authentic joy, which I'll say more about in a moment. But coming back to this idea of authenticity, so with gratitude, you don't have to be grateful. There is no should. And by shooting yourself, actually, and also in some traditions where you should feel grateful. You know, you have a roof over your head, you know, you have food to eat. You should feel, well, I don't feel grateful. Okay, it's okay, you don't. What's happening instead? I feel sad. Okay, sadness. Can I be with this right now? Can I be with this? And then by authentically being with exactly what you are, that can open actually the doorway to gratitude, to joy, which seems counterintuitive. And don't take my word for it. Experiment with it. It is said that the precondition for gratitude and joy are mindfulness, authentically being with what it is. And there is a joy. There is a sense of joy in being fully present with whatever is present, even if it's a difficult emotion. There is a joy with being completely present with it, acknowledging, embracing it. You know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you experience this. There's this, please. And if you haven't, it's okay. Hang in there. There is a sense of joy, even when there is sadness, there is sorrow. Even when your heart is breaking. I mean, I know for me, I'll give an example, actually, something that came up during Friday as I was practicing being fully present and exploring what arises joy. And what came up was, wow, just being fully present, being completely fully present. Joy and delight seem to be the fabric of every experience, even when my heart was sad and breaking with difficulty. My mom has been very ill, and it's very difficult. I have a very close relationship with my mom, and sitting with the sorrow, just the fact that I can feel and I can love so much, and that my heart can break. It's sad and it's beautiful. There is a gratitude in being right here, exactly where I am. And that's what I'm talking about. Like to share with you a poem by Billy Mills. And Billy Mills was born in 1938 in Pine Ridge, South Dakota. And he's a Sioux Indian. And he was raised on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. He grew up in poverty, and he was orphaned at the age of 12. And he turned to sports as a way to find positive focus in his life, and he made it to the 1964 Tokyo Olympic Games. And he was the first American ever to win the 10,000-meter race in the Olympics. And he's dedicated his life to supporting younger Indians, Native Americans. So this is a poem by him from his book called Wokini. The translation is New Life. And there are two words in this poem that I like to translate for you ahead of time. And one word is Iktumi, which is trickster or mischievous spirit. The other word is Wakantanka, the sacred or the divine. So Iktumi, trickster or mischievous spirit, and Wakantanka, the sacred or the divine. So here goes Billy Mills. In my youth, I respected the world and life. I needed not anything but peace of heart. And yet, I changed despite myself and believed in Iktumi's lies. He seemed to know all the truth. He promised to make me happy. He made me ask Wakantanka for wealth, that I might have power. I was given poverty, that I might find my inner strength. I asked for fame so others would know me. I was given obscurity that I might know myself. I asked for a person to love that I might never be alone. I was given a life of a hermit that I might learn to accept myself. I asked for power that I might achieve. I was given weakness that I might learn to obey. I asked for health that I might lead a long life. I was given infirmity that I might appreciate each minute. I asked Mother Earth for strength that I might have my way. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for her. I asked to live happily that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might live happily. I received nothing I asked for, yet all my wishes came true. Despite myself and Iktumi, my dreams were fulfilled. I am richly blessed, more than I ever hoped. I thank you, Wakantanka, for what you've given me. It's a beautiful poem. It is on his website if you want to read it again. Search for Billy Mills. So I'd like to... Well, actually, let me see. Yeah. I'd like to actually offer a very short guided reflection, if that's okay. If you're sitting, close your eyes, get into a comfortable meditation posture for a few minutes. And we start by just settling in, into our bodies. Softening this body that carries us, serves us. Settling, softening, arriving and again, arriving this moment, arriving. Feeling, sensing. Letting go of thoughts, letting go of reflections for a moment, and just feeling, being in this body. Being in this body in this moment. Different from any other moment. Hello, body. Feeling your bottom on the cushion, sensing, feeling your back if you're sitting on a chair, feeling your hands, are they cool, are they warm, what does it feel like? Wow, the sensation of hands. Feeling your breath moving in and out of your body. Pretty amazing, feeling the abdomen, the chest. Feeling the miracle of this body sitting right here, alive. Alive and breathing. You don't have to do anything. The breath breathes itself, the body does its own thing. Sensations sensed on their own. Hearing, this miracle of hearing happens on its own. How amazing, miraculous. feeling, sensing, breathing. Being right here, right now. And relaxing, softening. Relaxing into this. There's nothing to be done but just to notice this amazing, miraculous sea, ocean of experience in this moment. And as you're sitting right now, right here, as you become more intimate with this present moment experience, sensing, feeling, breathing, thinking, being intimate with that, being intimate with whatever's coming up, intimate with thoughts, intimate with emotions, intimate with whatever is present. Opening up to allowing whatever is present, resting in it. And seeing, inclining the mind perhaps, opening up to, maybe dropping a question. A feeling of an inkling, of appreciation, of delight. As you open up, as you broaden your perspective, allowing your mind to feel into what it appreciates in this moment, sitting here, what it appreciates about this moment, what your heart appreciates. About being here right now. Whatever comes up, embrace it. And if nothing, that's okay too. Completely authentically embrace that. And see what arises now. As you expand, you broaden. To feeling the good. And also what the mind usually deems as not so good. Can we open up to that? And perhaps find a thread of appreciation for that too. Appreciation for any experience, every experience, just being this amazing ride of being human, of being alive, of having agency in the world, feeling, sensing. To read a poem for you as your eyes are closed by E.E. Cummings. The title is I Thank You, God, for Most This Amazing. And it starts. I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping greenly spirits of trees, and a blue true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I, who have died, am alive again today. And this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and of love and wings and of the gay, great happening, illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the no of all nothing human, merely being, doubt, unimaginable you. Now the ears of my ears awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are opened. Now the ears of my ears awake. And now the eyes of my eyes are opened. Before I close, I'd like to share one last reading with you, which is one of my favorites, and this is by Gill. This is from his book, The Monastery Within, and it's a little story. It's called The Monastic Alternative. As a teenager, she often visited the monastery. She was deeply attracted to the monastic life. The Buddhist path to liberation was what had the most meaning for her. When she became an adult, she planned on joining the monastic order. However, when she turned 21, her older sister and her sister's husband died in an accident, and she became the foster parent for their two young children. In addition, her own parents had become quite old and needed her help. As the only income earner in the family, she had to work long hours every day. She loved to meditate, but with all the work and caregiving she had to do, she had no time for it. Since she was not able to fulfill her aspirations for following the monastic path, she went to the abbess of the monastery and asked how she could follow the path with the life she had to live. The abbess said that if she couldn't meditate, then the best alternative is to be grateful for everything. So with that, may you be grateful for everything. Thank you.